So we're going to look at the passage of the angels and the shepherds, but rather than focusing our attention on the characters of the angels and the characters of the shepherd, I want to look just briefly at the message and then briefly at the response. And so you have these shepherds in the field doing their work. And verse 9 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And I just have to think that the stark contrast between the dark of night, no lights, no city lights, nothing to really give vision, give sight, and all of a sudden in the darkness, this absolute bright angelic being comes. And this is what he says. The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. It's a pretty simple message. Given the whole of the Old Testament telling this story of a Messiah who is to come, the angel didn't spend time explaining. The angel didn't spend time walking through all of the prophecies. The angel simply said, the Christ that you have heard of is here. It wasn't with great explanation. It was with a simple message. The Savior is born. And the message itself contains a couple of descriptions. First, that it's good news. This message is good news. And second, that it will bring great joy. It is good news of great joy that will be for all people. And as I was reading this, I was struck really by the theme that weaves through this whole passage. But I was struck by what the angels had just declared. This thing is going to work for me. The angels had said, we are here to proclaim good news, the gospel of truth. Christ has come. The angels evangelized to the shepherds. The angels were evangelizing to the shepherds. He said simply, this is who is here. This is who he is, and it's good news of great joy. They were evangelizing. And why was this evangelism so important? Why does this news bring joy? And it's simply because the anticipated deliverer, foretold for hundreds of years before, is here. What Israel had looked forward to from this moment on, history looks back on in remembrance. Christ has been born. And it's for all people. And I think this is more importantly what the angels illustrate by coming to the shepherds. It's not for some high and royal group of people. It's for everyone. It's for all people. And so they come to shepherds. And this is the simple message that the angels say. This is the simple proclamation of who Christ is, who this child born in Bethlehem, simply Savior Christ the Lord. And the angel tells there is a deliverer who has been born, the anointed Messiah, Lord. And this is really a unique phrase in all of Scripture, because this is the only time in the New Testament that these three titles are grouped together. And it's the first time we see the word Lord attributed to Christ as he's just a baby in a manger. Christ the Lord. A deliverer who is the Messiah. Deliverer from sin, deliverer from guilt. And I just want to ask, who is Christ the Savior and Lord of? If you will turn with me over to John chapter 6. This is Christ speaking of himself, telling one of where he had come from and two, who he is Savior of and Lord of. He says this, Luke 6:35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Christ says of himself that I will deliver, I will save all who believe in me, who trust in me. And so the message comes to these shepherds, this Christ, this deliverer, this Messiah, who is Lord of all, he is born and he has come to save. And then, all at once, this simple message that was the shepherds hearing the single angel, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Almost without being able to contain themselves at the proclamation of this Savior, at the proclamation of this birth, the angels come forth giving praise, honor, and glory to God. And they say, "Peace among those with whom he is pleased. On earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." God's peace is extended to those with whom he is pleased. And I think in this context, it's likely that God's peace, who he's referring to, are those who have responded to this message, those who have believed. Even just turning back a chapter to Mary's song, verse 50 of chapter 1 says this, "And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." God's peace is given to those who respond to his message, the God-fearers that Mary has sung of. And I think this praise of angels contains a couple of ideas. One, the angels are rejoicing, heaven is rejoicing at the salvation of God revealed in Christ. And two, the people to whom God draws near through Christ will experience harmony and the benefits God bestows on his own. God gives peace, God gives grace, God gives mercy to those who are his own. And so, with all of the Old Testament pointing forward to this moment, to this life, the angels simply say, "The Savior who you have been waiting for is here, and he is Christ the Lord." And so this is the angel's message. This is their simple song, their simple statement. And I love the shepherd's response. Verse 15, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.'" They could have said, "That's great. We're glad the Savior is born. We're glad he's here, but we have sheep to look after. We have things to do. We have a job that we have been given, and we have to look after these things." And Scripture isn't clear whether all the shepherds who were there went, how many shepherds were there, but the fact of the matter is the shepherds did go. The shepherds said, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." See this thing that has happened that the Lord has made known to us. And so first they searched for the truth. They said, let us go see this truth that God has made known. Let us see what the Lord has made known to us. And they go with haste. And so first they search, and second, they publish, or they make known what they had heard. Look at verse 17 and 18. "And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." And so the shepherds are going, and they're like, "We have heard the saving Messiah, God's anointed one, has come. He is here." And they make it known. They make it known, proclaiming what had been told them. And then lastly, they returned, glorifying God. Verse 20. "And the shepherds returned, glorifying God, and glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." What did they return to? They returned to the fields. They returned to their flocks. They went back to the business that they had been doing before. Changed forever. And I said that this passage really is, weaved throughout this passage is this idea of evangelism. You see, the angels proclaiming the good news to the shepherds hearing and proclaiming that good news to those who were around them. And then they return glorifying and praising God. And just as the angel proclaimed that Christ had come and the angels come forth in praise and in singing, so when the shepherds return, having seen all that had been told them, they return praising God. The realization of the message led to praise, just as it had when the angels offered the same message earlier. And so, how do we respond? What is there for us in this message, in this passage? I think just a couple of things. One, as we hear truth, as we hear Scripture proclaimed to us, I think it's our responsibility as believers to search the Scriptures to see if those things are true. Paul in Acts lifts up the Bereans because he says, "I went to them and proclaimed Christ, and they didn't just take me at my word, but they searched the Scriptures to see if these things were true." They had searched the Scriptures, and so we search for truth. Unless looking at the shepherds and looking at those around them, verse 18, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. To wonder and marvel at the work of God in Christ. It's so easy in the busyness of this Christmas season to get kind of distracted by all the things that are pushed on us, the buying of presents, the getting together with family, all of these things, not bad things, good things, but can overshadow the simple truth that Christ had come. And so taking time to marvel that God had become flesh, the incarnation has happened. And I think this is a state of being that should be so natural to us as believers, that we wonder and marvel at the truth that God came, that he didn't just leave us in a broken and lost state of existence, but he came and saved us. And so we search, we wonder at, and I like specifically how Mary responds, that she treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The truth of this gospel, the truth of this message is so incredibly valuable that it can't just be overlooked, it can't just be kind of thought about a little bit, it has to take the center. As I was reading this, I was thinking, reminded of the parable in Matthew, where it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Like, this is a treasure more valuable than anything. To treasure up what God has given, the truth that God has revealed to us. Not just Not just saying, oh, that's nice, I'm glad I have this, but pondering, thinking over, meditating on all of these things. And again, all of these things isn't some vast message. It's a simple three-word, Christ the Lord. It's Christ the Lord is born. This is what she was pondering. This is what she was treasuring up. And then lastly, proclaim and live by what we know. I don't think the shepherds, being shepherds, knew everything about the Old Testament. They didn't know all the deep truths of God. They didn't know everything that there probably was to know, even at that time. They were shepherds. They were watching sheep in a field. But they said, we have to see this. We have to know this. We have to proclaim this. They go telling those around them. They proclaim what they know. And so I would encourage, as we think through this, are we even proclaiming that which we know to those around us? Which just leads me to one final thought, really. Final thought and a quote. You don't need to be an expert of the message to make known its simple truth. This isn't a job for the educated, the people with seminary degrees. This isn't a job for people who are just in ministry. We don't need to be an expert in the truth of God to make known this simple thing, simple and yet profound, that Christ the Savior, the Lord, has come to save and deliver us from our sins. I just want to share a quote from a message that Charles Spurgeon had given, and he says this: "But though the shepherds told what they had heard from heaven, remember that they spoke of what they had seen below. They had, by observation, made those truths most surely their own, which had first been spoken to them by revelation. No man can speak of the things of God with any success until the doctrine which he finds in the book, he finds also in his heart. We must bring down the mystery and make it plain by knowing, by the teaching of the Holy Ghost, its practical power on the heart and conscience. My brethren, the gospel which we preach is most surely revealed to us by the Lord. But moreover, our hearts have tried and proved, have grasped, have felt, have realized its truth and power. If we have not been able to understand its heights and depths, yet we have felt its mystic power upon our heart and spirit, it has revealed sin to us better. It has revealed to us our pardon. It has killed the reigning power of sin. It has given us Christ to reign over us, the Holy Spirit to dwell within our bodies as in a temple. Now we must speak. I do not urge any of you to speak of Jesus who merely know the word as you find it in the Bible. Your teaching can have but little power. But I do speak earnestly to you who know its mighty influence upon the heart, who have not only heard of the babe, but have seen him in the manger, taken him up to your own arms and received him as being born to you, a Savior to you, Christos, the anointed for you, Jesus the Savior from sin for you. Beloved, can you do otherwise than speak of the things which you have seen and heard? God has made you to taste and see and to handle of this good word of life, and you must not, you dare not hold your peace, but you must tell friends and neighbors what you have felt within." Just as it seems the angels could hardly contain themselves at the proclamation of this news, and the shepherds couldn't just stay in the field watching sheep, they had to go, they had to see, they had to proclaim this good news. I encourage and implore us that we don't let this season go by. We don't let this day go by when people are so open to the message. Some people are going to church just on these days, Christmas and Easter. We can't let it go by without proclaiming what we know. And we don't need to expertly handle and explain the whole of the Old Testament, just simply that there is a Savior, that we are lost in our sin, that Christ came to deliver us from that sin. God's great work at Christmas was to send his Son to earth to live a perfect life and to die that we might be free. And our great work this time of year, and really at all times, is to make him known. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we are redeemed, that we are saved, as we believe in you, as we trust in you and repent of our sins. Father, that you save us completely. You call us redeemed. And this message isn't just for those who are here. It's not just for people who already believe you, but Father, this message is for all who would draw near. Father, keep us faithful. Remind us of the message that you have sent your Son, Christ the Lord, to die, to live for us. Father, may we be bold to proclaim it this time of year and really all year long. But Father, make us continually bold to proclaim the truth that we know. Father, we love you and we praise you. It's for your name we pray. Amen.